from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We've got a special bonus episode of Locked On Chiefs for you today. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope y'all are enjoying your day and about to watch some football probably. We really appreciate you listening. We want to say thank you and happy holiday to you. This is a bonus episode because Chris got an opportunity to sit down with Kevin Mosser over at Locked On Bills to talk about the Chiefs-Bills matchup. It's a couple days early, but we wanted to make sure that we got you this conversation because there's some enlightening things about it. So here you go. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and here's a special episode from us.
Chris Clark from Locked On Chiefs. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Kevin?
Doing super well. Always excited to get on these crossover shows. It's one of our best performing shows. Bills fans really enjoy this show. They really look forward to a really big perspective from the other teams who covers them for the other team. So I just wanted to get right into it and start talking about the trade up. We'll start right at the top, where the Chiefs came up and made a really big trade to get up and get Patrick Mahomes at the time. How are you feeling about that now? Like, how have you felt about that trade? Are you okay with not having that first-round pick? Kind of give the Chiefs' perspective about that a little bit.
Honestly, that night, I was actually at dinner with my mother. It was her birthday. And I'm sitting there jumping around on Twitter, and I'm hearing different things about Kansas City going and maybe making a big trade up. And I'm like, there's no way they're going to go that high to get a quarterback. I was ecstatic when the pick was made. I was absolutely beside myself when I found out they traded up to the 10th pick to get Mahomes. I think that's going to be a fantastic move for them in the future. You saw what he was able to do in the preseason a little bit. And yes, I understand he's going against competition he's not going to play against on a normal Sunday. But I think you see traits that give him the ability to be a lot more successful for Kansas City down the road. So I'm excited to see what they can possibly get in the future for him.
Absolutely. And when you guys initially made that trade, you were on the clock, you heard some grumblings. Did you think it was for a quarterback? Was there a defensive prospect, offensive prospect that was also on the board? Or was it always going to be Mahomes? And was Mahomes a pretty rumored guy to be going there, if at all, during the draft process?
You know, I heard whispers that they were interested in Mahomes, but it was nothing concrete, and I think that's kind of the way Kansas City wanted it. When I watched the different QB prospects coming out, I've liked Alex Smith for as long as he's been in Kansas City. I think he brought a lot of stability to the team at the quarterback position that they didn't have before. But I think you've seen his ceiling, and he has shown that he's regressing this year. So them going to making a move like this was symbolic to me, that they realize that he's not going to be that guy that can get them over the hump and get them to where they want to be. And to me, there was nobody else that they could be possibly going up to move up for. I would have been absolutely shocked if they would have traded and picked somebody else. Because, you know, going into the season, you didn't think they had many holes. You know, one of the biggest holes that you would have thought they had was probably middle inside linebacker or inside linebacker. And, you know, obviously this is before the Reggie Ragland trade. But you're also not going to go and trade up to the 10th pick and give up a first round next year and a third rounder to go out up and get a middle or an inside linebacker. So to me, it was always Absolutely. The QB.
Okay. No, that's great perspective for Bills fans who really had no idea what was going on at the time. There was a lot of defensive back prospects on the board at the time, and we really, you know, Marshon Lattimore, the Bills ended up obviously trading back and taking Trey White, which ended up being a great move for them. But at the time, we had no idea that we wouldn't select Lattimore. There were some great safety prospects on the board. So D-back's actually been a strength of the Bills, which has been kind of funny that they passed up with that pick and ended up trading back, getting a cornerback. And letting, you guys go ahead and select Mahomes there. So that's been interesting. It's been a whole interesting perspective. We're kind of linked together there. And I'm sure if Mahomes does come in and it does perform, he'll be another name on the Bills' agenda of someone that they've missed on, as well as Deshaun Watson, two quarterbacks. And obviously the Bills are very much right now in quarterback limbo.
Right.
But yourself, I mean, the Chiefs themselves, Mahomes, Smith, the whole debacle going on there, or the regression, I should say, of Smith, and Alex Smith's quarterback. I really sometimes enjoy watching. When should the move be made on your end? We've seen the Bills go out and make a real brazen move there. Should the Chiefs follow suit, or what do you think? What's your perspective there?
Right now, I don't have a great answer for you. I am of the opinion that Smith has not played well enough. He is probably the reason for their for at least two of their losses, if not three. If he plays, 75 to 80% of the way he played the first five games, they're probably 7-2, if not 8-1 right now. The only loss that maybe he didn't play horribly in is really the Oakland game. And he could have made a couple extra plays at the end of the game that would have won it for him. But, everything's hindsight's 20/20. At this point, they've lost four of the last five games. Smith has really regressed the way he's playing. He is not taking shots that he was taking early in the season. He's not keeping his eyes up, and that is a huge issue that he's always had ever since he came to Kansas City. He is somebody that will get happy feet. He will dance in the pocket. He will take off before he really needs to. He doesn't seem to be very comfortable just sitting back there and letting things develop and trying to go past his first read. Sometimes he gets past his first read, but one of the things that great quarterbacks do is they get the ball out quick, but they also get the ball out quick and they make multiple reads doing it. And that's one thing that Smith has never really done consistently, at least. He's always been a guy that's gotten the ball out quick, but it's usually because he's looking at his first read and maybe every once in a while second read and then getting the ball out of there.
That's so interesting because there's a lot of similarities there with, they are slightly different players between him and our starting quarterback, or for 2.5 years, our starting quarterback with Tyrod Taylor. A lot of similarities. The only difference I can say is, Tyrod doesn't get rid of the ball quickly, does lock onto his first target, is a running type of quarterback, doesn't really like to look too much down the field. I mean, I know it's been a little bit better for Smith with, Tyreek Hill's emergence, but generally he's looked at as a game manager. So there's some interesting correlations there. And, obviously the most interesting correlation still to me is the Sean McDermott, Andy Reid correlation is, Sean takes any time he can to mention Andy Reid in a press conference where it's appropriate. And, so it's almost like he leaned on Andy a little bit with, how to handle quarterbacks. I know he's admitted to doing so, calling back Carolina and Ron Rivera. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's talked to Andy and Andy's given him his thoughts. Do you think Andy Reid will make a move like this during the season while you guys are in a playoff position or playoff push? I know you don't know when the move would happen, but could you see him doing this?
Honestly, probably not. Unless the wheels really fall off and they get to 500 and then maybe you start thinking about it. Right now there's still two games ahead of everybody else in the AFC West. They play four of the next six games at home. They play all the AFC West teams again. They've had pretty good success against the AFC West this year. I don't really like to go into it too much, but I think the refs kind of stole a game from them in Oakland, but that's football. So I think they're going to be in a great position going forward. They don't play a team with a winning record the rest of the season, so they have like the second easiest strength of schedule left. I think they'll be fine, but, I don't see Andy making that move.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot to talk about with, getting to your schedule a little bit. I'm, kind of interested as, obviously the AFC East is playing the AFC West this year, so there's some good correlations there as well. I did want to mention, make sure if you guys like betting, you like gambling, get out there and check out mybookie.ag. It's one of our favorites, 100% bonus using the code LOCKEDON. Get out there, get on there, bet on your favorite games, some good lines this week. Give it a whirl once again, mybookie.ag. Really leading us into – I want to talk about your schedule, just real briefly. I find it pretty fascinating. You play pretty much the AFC East and then in your own division. Who's the best AFC West team beside the Chiefs?
Right now, San Diego.
Really? Yeah. We saw that, from Bill's perspective,
Los Angeles. I still screw that up.
I gotcha.
I'll eventually get it, but I'm still not used to it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's easier for us. We don't really cover LA that much, so it was easy to make the transition. But for, a division rival, I'm sure that's been tough to make that name change. But
you look at those teams, and the only one that has consistent play from the quarterback position, the Raiders have been pretty good at times. But San Diego's always had Phillip Rivers, and he keeps them in games that they probably shouldn't be in. And keeps them winning. And, the Broncos don't have a quarterback that they can rely on right now. Paxton Lynch isn't.
Yeah.
It could be that guy, but I'm not sure. they're going to find out.
Absolutely. They, you know, they made a move much like the Bills did. But, you know, I actually got to see the Broncos in person this year. You know, we watched the Chargers game pretty in-depthly last week for the Bills. I have also seen the Raiders in person this year when they came up to Buffalo. So I agree. I think the Chargers are by far the best team there. I cannot believe they've lost to all the other three AFC East teams. That is just shocking to me. I think they put it all together. Anthony Lynn had a revenge game out against Buffalo as they chose Sean McDermott over him. They felt slighted by the quarterback move. And in hindsight, the move wasn't made because they thought the Chargers were particularly bad. It was made just at that. It was just happened to be the opponent they played. So it had nothing to do with like, oh, we have an easy win against the Chargers. We're just going to make that quarterback change, how they kind of interpreted it. No, it was just the right timing for the Bills to make that move. Tyrod Taylor had just a 56-yard performance against the Saints, and they thought that that was the right timing. It had nothing to do with the opponent or the schedule. I don't think, you know, playing in L.A. and then going to Arrowhead wasn't the ideal timing. I don't know what is. Right. But I do think that the Chargers, I agree with you, that they're the best team there, and they're probably your only threat going down in the stretch if they can continue to put it together.
And you look at the Chargers, they have played some teams. They almost beat Jacksonville. They should have beat Jacksonville. I mean,
they should have beat the Patriots.
Well, that's true too. I'm just thinking about the one. Yeah, they should have beat the Patriots. I'm just thinking about that Jacksonville game where, dumb plays at the end of the game cost them that game, and getting a ball or getting a hand on the ball on a field goal and not being able to get it blocked. That's really Chargers-esque. So.
Yeah, no. Well, they're going to give you guys some heat. I'm looking forward to your matchup when you play. That'll be one I tune into. I think it'll be a pretty good game.
I'm happy they're back in Arrowhead.
Is it? Okay. What week is that?
That's a great question. You asked me something. I'm not exactly sure. I know it's coming up. I think it's the end of December.
Okay, great.
I'm just trying to find that right now.
It might have playoff implications for the Bills, who are just kind of hanging on by a thread if it matters. So just interesting.
Yeah, and it's really surprising because you would have thought that the way the season started, that the one team that Kansas City would play late that wouldn't have playoff implications would have been the Chargers. But, they play on December 16th on a Saturday, week 15.
Week 15, cool. Good to know. It'll be a great game. You guys also take care of the Jets. You know, we're looking forward to you taking care of them nicely, and the Dolphins too. So,
care of the Patriots.
That's true. You did. Unfortunately, we're still three games back. We do have two games against the Patriots. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bills take care of them at one of the two games. They've happened to be splitting with the Patriots lately. But, you know, they've had some weird circumstances where they played Jacoby Brissett last year. And then, although they were 3-0, they played Jacoby Brissett and a couple of other weird circumstances. But, you know, getting into kind of in this matchup a little bit, you know, we have a couple of key changes in the roster. Reggie Ragland going over to Kansas City from Buffalo late in the preseason, a player I covered pretty in-depthly in camp, and obviously the Bills losing Darius a couple weeks ago to the Jaguars for a sixth-round pick that'll probably turn into a fifth-round pick. So getting into Ragland a little bit, tell us how you feel about him so far now that he's getting in the lineup.
Well, I think that it was slow going. I think, you know, you looked at him coming over when he did. He wasn't going to be a guy that was going to get a lot of playing time early. But it was a game, you know, Ryan and I were actually there for the Monday night game against the Redskins when he got his first start. And there was nobody that knew. We were actually sitting next to one of the other beat guys in Kansas City talking to him, Matt Derrick. And, you know, we looked down at the field and we're like, wait, Reggie Ragland's with the starting defense. And we're all sitting there trying to tweet it out at the same time. It was a real surprise because nothing had come out in practice. You know, that was a surprise that he started then, but he's gotten a couple more snaps every single week, it seems. And then this week he played more snaps than either of the other inside linebackers, I believe. And he played really well. He did very well according to PFF as well. But just the eye test, he did very well.
Do you know, I got to watch him a little bit and, in a 4-3 front, he was basically the best player in training camp last year with Rex Ryan. We filmed a show, a very small version of like a Hard Knocks locally. It was like a couple hours and it was like just a special edition. And, you know, you saw Reggie Ragland pre-knee injury making pretty much every play on the field. Was going to be a missing part of the Bills, you know, Rex Ryan's 3-4 defense. Doug Whaley went out and, you know, made a trade to get him. Everyone was pretty happy and excited about it. The next thing you know, goes down with a big knee injury, out for pretty much the entire year into preseason, still not back to form into OTAs, came back, originally had some rave reviews, making the switch to 4-3, but just straight up was out of place, couldn't find a fit in Sean McDermott's defense, wasn't fast enough to kind of be that cover linebacker they were looking for, didn't really have a place in the run stop position as he pretty much lost his middle linebacker job in a 4-3 to Preston Brown, which I wish he didn't in hindsight. I would gladly take Reggie Ragland right now, especially for what they got for him, just a fourth round pick in next year's draft.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a move I don't think went the Bills' way. Darius, at least you had some ramifications where he's making $100 million. You know, so there is some cap ramifications there. So there is some solace in that trade. But when it comes to Reggie Ragland on a rookie deal for a mid-round pick next year, which I'm still not sure if that's a conditional, but at best you're talking a third-round pick, but I do believe it's just a fourth. You know, a guy that's really found his fit in a 3-4. He is a 3-4 guy. He did look a little bit out of place. I really thought he'd sit behind Preston Brown this year and really get a chance to learn the 4-3 and get to be a, you know, factor week 11, week 12 like he is now. So I don't know what the difference would have been, but they deemed the fourth round pick. There was a little bit of the Bills early on trying to, you know, for lack of a better term, sell their players. They didn't think they'd be as good as they are today, or at least a couple weeks ago, we should say. They're 5-5 now. So there was a little bit of wishing they had him back now, I bet, at this point when they're 5-3, 5-4, really a couple players away from making that extra step. So Reggie Ragland fits into that. And, you know, I'm glad he's finding a fit. He was a guy that a lot of Bills fans really liked.
Well, and to be fair, though, I don't think he fit your system near like what he fits Kansas City's. And I think that's really what it comes down to. Now, I think he's a good enough player to play in a 4-3 and be productive, but I don't think he fits your scheme near as much as he's going to fit what Kansas City's wanting him to do. So, you know, I think it worked out for both teams. Obviously I'm going to say that now because I think Kansas City got the better end of the deal, I guess. But, you can just take it as, additional lost compensation for the first round pick that we gave you for this year and last year.
Yeah, I agree. And we've actually, what's really funny is the duo has killed the Bills, duo run fits, and that's really where Ragland could have helped. So I do think there could have been some correlation by this point of the season. But yeah, early on, he was struggling to find a fit in the 4-3. We really didn't know where to place, and we tried him at strong in the 4-3, didn't fit there. Lost his job to Ramona Humber, journeyman, who's been pretty okay this year. Reggie Ragland, good luck to him. You know, he had okay time in Buffalo here, and he was really looking. It was really funny because from pretty much being the future of the Bills front seven to not existent on the roster in like a 6 month period was pretty interesting there for him. And another player like that was Marcell Darius. A lot has been being made about that in the Bills run defense right now. Playing a really, you guys can run the ball pretty well there in Kansas City. Missing Marcell Darius, the Bills have been terrible the last 3 weeks post trade. Jacksonville's gotten a lot better. There's been interesting correlations, even though he was only on the field for 30-40% of the snaps up here in Buffalo. So there's some interesting, trades right there that the Bills have made that have really kind of hurt their run defense at minimum. At this point, I guess both benefit the Chiefs this week at least.
Well, the question is, can Kansas City's line take advantage of that? I'm really happy that they don't have to play against Marcell Darius this week, though. So thank you very much for that. And you're right, the correlation is definitely there with what happened in Jacksonville. They went from being 29th or 30th against the run before Darius got there and being like second the week after. Obviously not for the season, but that next week, they just completely shut down the running game. And a good defensive tackle can do that. And they know what they have.
That's absolutely true, which a lot of what we've already found out that even though, there are times Marcell Darius took plays off just straight up. He absolutely wasn't as motivated after he signed his $100 million deal. There were some missing parts there, only getting on the field 30-40% of the snaps, and that's pretty much what he's doing in Jacksonville. But when he's on the field, you can't single cover him. You need to make sure you have two guys on him at all points, and he's still able to get through that. So that's the one thing the Bills didn't really consider when they made the trade, that he was making everybody else better by being on the field, even if his stats weren't getting 7, 8, 9 sacks like he usually did. They have a hole in their defense. They got Cedric Thornton going in there. They got newly signed DeAndre Coleman. They have Adolphus Washington, and steady Kyle Williams. But, you have a couple guys in rotation who have been okay at times, but, you're missing that presence right there. And it's affecting more than anybody. It's affecting Jerry Hughes and the outside pass rushers.
Well, it'll affect the outside pass rushers, but it'll also affect, you know, any of your linebackers that, you know, Darius would help keep them. And I know it's a little bit of a different system, but Darius still keeps the line from getting to the second level, and it lets your linebackers play a little bit better. So it's something that you're going to have to figure out. I don't know how you replace a player like that. Obviously, you paid him $100 million for a reason. Jacksonville's lucky because they have the money to be able to spend to take on that contract. Because, you know, that defense is going to be very good for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
For them, it's just whether or not they can get a quarterback that fits their system and or that fits what they want to do. And you look at what, you know, we talked about Mahomes and Smith earlier. You really have to wonder if that's not a place that he could end up next year. I really have a hard time believing he's going to be in Kansas City in 2018. That $18 million is very expensive for a guy that probably you've seen the best of what you're going to get. But for a team like Jacksonville, with their defense that they're going to have, I think that they could get away with paying him that $18 million and still draft a guy and have him tutor the guy they're drafting and possibly be, you know, at the head of the AFC next year.
Very possible. We talk about that a little bit in Buffalo with, you know, where Tyrod Taylor could end up next year, similar situation. Jacksonville's going to have their pick of who they want to pay, and they're going to have a lot of veteran options out there, what kind of style quarterback they want. There's going to be a couple of good options if they're willing to take on that $15 to $20 million that a couple of them will command that, you know, they're going to have their choice of pick. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor's in that mix too, if that's the guy that they would deem would fit their system, their running system too, with Leonard Fournette. But, you know, getting into the Bills matchup a little bit, with the Chiefs, any key matchups you've seen in this game between the two? I mean, they're kind of both trending the same way. What do you got going on in this matchup?
Well, for Kansas City, you know, Ryan and I talked about this, and we're going to talk about this more for the preview show that we do on Friday. But to me, and to him as well, and this is nothing against the Bills, but really for Kansas City, it shouldn't matter who the QB is, and I say that because, to me, Kansas City should be a better team than the Bills at this point. The talent that they have on their team, they're severely underplaying what they have the ability to play, and they should be able to do whatever they want against you know, the rest of the schedule with the teams that they've got left. Now, will they do that? Probably not. You know, teams that have really been struggling lately have really gotten a lot better against Kansas City, so. Guess what? You may end up getting a win in Arrowhead this Sunday just because Kansas City seems to be helping struggling teams. But to me, it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is because you have to go out and you have to play your own game. And yes, Tyrod Taylor is a lot different quarterback than Peterman is, but I think Kansas City should be able to handle both of those guys on defense. Really, the question becomes, can they be effective on offense?
Absolutely, and the Bills have ran the ball pretty well at times. Sean McCoy pretty much still had his way last week in L.A. The big decision for Peterman and Tyrod, I mean, like you mentioned, you have to cover them completely different players. Peterman's going to be a guy that's going to, no matter what, get the ball out of his hand for better or for worse. He's going to try to get the ball into his playmaker's hands. That's why he won this job. That's what he showed against the Saints, pretty strong defense in his time in the game there. Tyrod Taylor is going to be the exact opposite. He's going to buy himself some time. He's going to scramble around. We'll play a little bit more Russell Wilson football, look down the field, see if he can see anyone. If not, he's going to dump it off. He's not going to do much in the middle there. He's not going to work the intermediate routes at all. He's going to look deep down the sideline, or he's going to look at his check down, or he's going to run the ball. So you got completely different. I would be planning, if I were the Chiefs, although it really doesn't matter, I would still be planning on playing Tyrod Taylor because he's a guy that can present more matchup problems. If Nathan Peterman gets in the game, who cares? I mean, he's going to just – If for some reason he turns it on this week and he's good and he's finding his receivers, I'm sure Andy Reid can make adjustments. But I would be preparing for Tyrod Taylor. He's such a unique style of player, and if you don't keep contain on him, he can play with the best of them.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to take a slide at your Bills. It's more of a fact that I just think Kansas City should be a better team because I think they've got the talent to be one. You know, I don't want to sound overconfident because that's not at all what I am about going into this game. But I do have to ask the question, how funny does it feel to say the Saints have a good defense?
It's weird. It's bizarre. I saw it in person. it is good. Marshawn Lattimore makes a huge difference. That's a good fun. They're running the ball, keeping their defense fresh. That's just – not the style of New Orleans football that I was expecting to talk about this year. I actually had that chalked up as a win early on. The funny part about this game for the Bills, it was always a game where I'd expect them to go in and lose, even if they were 6-4 or 7-3. Even playing better football than they are now, I would still expect them to go in and lose this game in Arrowhead. I can only remember one time where they played pretty well, and that was like 7 years ago with Ryan Fitzpatrick chucking the ball down to Stevie Johnson in like 2007 or something. It's the only time the Bills have played well in Arrowhead. So other than that, I wouldn't anticipate the Bills being able to take advantage of whatever matchup they have running the ball. I do think there's a few advantages on the Bills' offensive side. If Nathan Peterman plays this game, I mean, Kansas City can pretty much run the ball up the middle with Kareem Hunt all game, to be honest. They don't have to do anything else.
Well, and I would appreciate that because Kareem Hunt needs to get back on track. I've got him on my fantasy team, which we really don't need to go down that road. But, I think he's gotten the really frustrating thing with Kareem Hunt, at least the past couple of weeks, is you will see sparks at different times in the game. Okay, against Dallas, he had two runs. I think that one went for 19, one went for 7, and then he didn't get another carry the rest of the game. And that was in the third quarter. And then against the Giants, he got a couple of 5-yard runs and then finally started getting going and wasn't getting slammed right into defenders. And then they throw the Kelce interception where he's throwing the ball 60 yards down the field. There's no consistency. They're not getting in the ball regularly. And when they do get him the ball, it's not putting him in a good position to win. The offensive line definitely is not helping the situation. I will agree with that. They got to get it going because if they don't get it going, they're going to struggle the rest of the season. And, your Bills.
What's interesting there for him, he's got to get going, right? I mean, he's got an opportunity here against Buffalo. If for some reason Kansas City loses that offensive line battle, the interior line starts to let the Bills take advantage of the aggressive front seven that they have, over-aggressive, if anything. You would imagine, that'll favor the Bills in that one. But, you have a running game that really, really shouldn't struggle.
A player in Travis Kelce who shouldn't struggle against just about any defense. And I know that sounds cocky, but I really do think he's probably the best tight end in the NFL. I know Gronk is very good in New England, but if he stays healthy, the next 2 years, maybe I will, back off that statement a little bit. But Kelce seems to take over games at times, but Andy Reid, same thing with Kareem Hunt. He will get Kelce going early and then go away from him. And the question is why. The offense isn't consistent enough and you're not using Tyreek Hill. I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at the route tree that Tyreek Hill ran against the Giants?
I didn't get a chance specifically to see his route tree, but I did see a lot of the analytics behind it. So I got to see what people were saying. So if you wanted to get into that a little bit, that'd be great.
Well, I'm just saying basically what I was looking at was you've got maybe two or three routes that are beyond 5 or 10 yards. Everything else is just short crossers or out routes or something. I mean, you're not using what he is best at. You're not using him as the downfield threat that he needs to be, and you're not taking the chance. Now, the frustrating thing watching that game was I get that the wind played a factor in throwing the ball, but you switch the side of the field and you don't ever throw the ball down the field. Take advantage of it. Andy Reid really needs to work on adjusting things. When it comes to what Kansas City is going to do on defense, trying to stop the Bills, if they can stop LeSean McCoy or at least slow him down, I think that's really going to make the offense of the Bills struggle because I'm not sure that Peterman or Tyrod Taylor can get that offense going. But tell me a little bit about Zay Jones.
Absolutely. Getting into the Bills' offensive side of the ball, you have Zay Jones and Kelvin Benjamin, who may or may not play, but Zay Jones has been a really developing player, a guy that took a lot of heat for being one of the most unproductive players through like 5 weeks of NFL history. Caught like 20% of his targets. He was getting like 40 targets on the first four games, dropping balls, wasn't completing it, wasn't on the same page with quarterbacks, started to lose confidence. And then you saw a Thursday night football game in which he started to have completely different skill set, like eight games in against the Jets, started running a great route tree, started really burning their cornerbacks over there. And you saw a really developed Zay Jones. I mean, something clicked for him. Then he ended up taking a real cheap shot from Buster Screen on a, he's a really cheap player, tripped him when he was beat. basically was lucky to not tear his ACL, stuck his leg into the ground, still came back in the game, still ended up going for 53 yards and a touchdown, though he did miss the Saints game, which actually factored into that a little bit. Came back against the Chargers, did go for 4 for 68 with a 17-yard average and started to be on great page with Tyrod Taylor. So that's another reason to be rooting for Nathan Peterman to be playing in this football game, as they started to develop some chemistry there and really started to show that he's going to start to escalate a little bit in the rookie wide receiver rankings.
Well, and he is one of those guys that brings a lot of energy to the game too, it seems like. So that's something that's concerning to me because, you know, I'm sure they're going to move him all over the field. They can't have him on the same side of the field as Marcus Peters. You know, but who's going to be that other wide receiving threat or the receiving threat? I guess it could be Charles Clay, but I haven't seen much from him. I know he's just getting back from injury.
Yeah, Charles Clay was very good prior to injury. Actually, probably the Bills' best offensive weapon. A guy that can be forgotten about on a defensive side, and he can quickly burn you for 60, 70, 80 yards, that can take advantage of matchups. He's just getting back to form. We'll see what he can do this week. So he is a guy to always watch out for because he can gather catches in a hurry. He's led the Bills in receiving for 2 straight years. So, you know, Zay Jones beside him, and Kelvin Benjamin was just starting to get into his rhythm. Had a great catch to start the game last week and just got torpedoed in the leg by a Chargers defensive back, and lucky to avoid major injury there as well, him and Zay Jones, but don't know. I don't believe he'll suit up. And, you know, actually a pleasant surprise for the Bills this year has been Deontay Thompson, a pickup from Chicago, who's been pretty good, a good deep threat, went over 100 yards in his first game active against the Buccaneers, but still was a really, you know, had a really good route tree already and was starting to get going last week and got hurt. So we'll see if he plays. So, you know, you have three major injuries on the Bills offense. I would expect Jordan Matthews at times has shown he can still be pretty productive. He's the other guy that, you know, can be a productive receiver.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned Jordan Matthews. I'm really surprised that they made that move with Philadelphia to get him. I've always liked Matthews in Philadelphia, but he can't stay healthy. You know, but you look at wide receivers that have left the Bills. You know, you have Sammy Watkins, and you have, was it Robert Woods a receiver for Buffalo? Maybe not last year, but the year before.
Yeah, he was drafted by Buffalo, played his first
That's
4 years
I thought.
Last year, was a really productive receiver. At least in Robert Woods' case, he did go ahead and get like super paid for his production. We thought was crazy. He signed a pretty big deal with LA. So we were always okay with it. He was always in and out of the lineup like he's actually already hurt. He's hurt. He's going to miss a couple weeks here with the shoulder. He did sign a 5-year, $39 million deal. So many Bills fans are saying, we like the player, but we can't give him a $10 million cap hit, $8 million next year. And at the time where, you know, we're looking to reshuffle our cap a little bit as we've overpaid some players. So
yeah,
great player, shown his ability in and out of the lineup. Same with Sammy Watkins, who we traded to LA, just went and bought all of our players.
Yeah.
At least they paid for him, second round pick.
Buffalo West.
Yeah. We didn't think LA would be as good as they are, so we thought we'd be a high second there. So we were pretty happy to make that deal and get EJ Gaines, who's actually been a pleasant surprise, a fairly decent starting corner for the Bills, as he's been grading out pretty well in PFF. And it's, the Bills are a different defense when he's playing too. So pass defense, I should say, is he's 36th PFF corner. So we had a fairly good return for a receiver who was on his final year of his fifth year option.
Yeah. No, and it's just surprising to watch them trade away pieces that you would think would be franchise corners, cornerstones. Sammy Watkins looked like he had the talent to be a franchise cornerstone. Now, I know it didn't turn out that way necessarily, but, you know, Marcell Dareus does, and to trade him away, you know, so it's just surprising to see Buffalo do that and then to be as successful as they were earlier in the season. I know they've fallen off. Do you think, I know we talked about it a little bit, do you contribute that to Marcell Dareus leaving just by itself, or do you think there was more along those lines, more to, sure, about that?
There's a perfect storm of things that happened, and Dars is a little, you know, as a part of it, as we've, you know, tweeted out, and check out our Twitter handle at @CoverOne, you know, where we're tweet in depth discussions and you know, go into each individual play. Dars actually absolutely matters, and he's probably only 1/10 of the puzzle on what happened in Buffalo. They stopped turning the ball over at an enormous clip. They were getting quarterbacks to turn the ball over 3 to 4 times per game, leading the NFL with Kansas City. They didn't turn the ball over themselves, as Tyrod Taylor is actually the least turnover-prone quarterback in the NFL, not in NFL history, was turning the ball over at a 1% rate. So they were getting some great play there. The Jets put something on tape that absolutely just crushed the Bills. They ran a five-man pressure every single play, stopped Tyrod from getting out of the pocket, even when he's able to break out of tackles, which he's going to do. He's getting pursued by a spy linebacker. So he pretty much committed five men to Tyrod and then a sixth man in a linebacker and a spy, which pretty much meant that you knew Tyrod was going to check the ball down or he was going to take a sack. And that got pretty old, and the Saints followed suit, did the same exact thing. That led to, a couple blowouts. Really, there were only two bad games, and then L.A. was just ridiculous with Peterman. I don't even consider that a football game. They didn't go out there to win the game. They were trying new things out. They were seeing if they were missing something with quick release, and they weren't. You can't win a football game with five. We're still moving the ball on offense, running the ball pretty well. Tyrod went in, and it was a 17-17 game when he got benched. So you can't win with five picks. So that's kind of what happened there. But the first two games, just they put something on tape that Tyrod was unable to beat. And we'll see what Kansas City does if they follow suit, if they play Tyrod Taylor. Because if you forget about that, he's actually a talented player. That's when it actually can be a long day.
Well, and you point something out that's great that Chiefs fans can relate to, because Pittsburgh put something on tape that stopped Alex Smith in his tracks, and look at what he's done the past five games. He can't figure out the zone defense how to beat the zone defenses. And that is very frustrating. So I completely get where you're coming from on that. To watch a team that has talent struggle with things a team does, and then just, it's a copycat league. Everybody's going to pick it up if they find that it beats them. So
absolutely. And at very similar situations, and the Bills are zone heavy team. So that could be a matchup that Alex needs to figure out where to go quickly, because that's what the Bills were able to do with a couple other quarterbacks early this year. Able to fool them, make them take checkdowns, turn them into, some type of small level play or turnover. That's what they were doing early on in the year with, pretty much Trevor Siemian. They knew he was terrible at the cover three, so they pretty much ran that extensively. They went in and took care of business with a couple of other quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, pretty much made him take everything underneath, and he got impatient. So, you saw the Bills, and that was probably their best win, to go into Atlanta and take the win away from them and really stymie Matt Ryan. So they're able to do it. They still have the same players. Their defense is actually, besides trading Darius, is pretty healthy. I don't even know if Darius played against Atlanta. He's been inactive a couple of games prior to his trade anyways. You have some matchups there that the Bills can take advantage of. That's why I do think they need to make one last gasp here to play Tyrod for the next week or two to make another push. I mean, Kansas City is their last fighting chance to even the score and make them both 6-5 and really catapult them into the next, really start to talk about the playoffs at that point. And it would make a thing scary for the Chiefs, though, if some reason they do have a lapse here. And that put them one game closer to L.A., right? Isn't that a little scary?
It's very scary. And I'm trying to remember who Elliott plays this week, because, you would think that it's possible that, they could be just one game back.
I think the Cowboys, right? Thursday?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yep, and so, we'll see that. So you'll know prior to the game what they do.
But you really can't look at the schedule this. You really shouldn't be looking at the schedule right this early, trying to figure out, okay, well, this team does this, this team does that. I understand why, people we start talking about it, but you can't do that as a team. It's just too many things.
Easy to talk about on our lockdown shows, but you look at it, and they get a Browns team the next week. They get a up and down Redskins team, then they get the Chiefs game, then they have a Jets game they should take advantage of there, and then the Raiders. So they just, like the Chiefs, have a fairly favorable schedule as well.
Yeah, although I will think that the Redskins will probably get a win there.
I would think as well.
I know they're up and down at times, but I think they're a better team than the Chargers. I was really impressed watching them in person from what they were able to do. And Tyrod, Terrell Pryor is going to be a very good wide receiver in this league sooner rather than later. So,
and I can never
thought I'd say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe the Chargers lost to the Dolphins by two. I won't be able to get over that. That's a stinger. They should have taken that game and be really more in a better position there against you know, I guess we're only talking about the Chargers. A, the Bills played them last week, and B, you guys play them coming up, but they're really the only competition, in my opinion. Maybe the Raiders make a little thing here, but I don't think so. They're not a good football team.
Well, they just released their defensive coordinator, and I don't think he's really the issue. Their defense is just bad. Yeah. They went out and signed Sean Smith and gave him a ton of money, and he is not a number one corner. Never has been. Never really will be. Kansas City was able to cover some of the things he really didn't do well, and he was exposed. And they don't have corners that can really play right now, so that's really going to hamper what they're able to do. They still have one of the best NFL defenders in Khalil Mack, but that's about the extent of it. And they do have Navarro Bowman, but I don't think he's going to be a huge factor for them.
I don't think so either. Yep. I mean,
at least this he may be a bigger factor next year. But he's getting older too, so you know how long is that going to be a big factor? I'm not sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And Khalil Mack's a guy I know pretty well. Once again, a big University of Buffalo fan. Covered him before he was a somebody, and you know him personally. So he's always great to see, and I can't believe that you know he's turned into the player that he is. So you know that's someone I wouldn't want in my division. So I'm glad he's in yours and not mine. But, you know, that's what without the other parts, I mean, Oakland's starting to go back to earth and starting to go below earth because they just, once, like you mentioned, it's not a good defense. They have Khalil Mack and not a ton else. So, you know, they're going to stay down there for a little bit here until they correct some issues. I know they're already calling for a lot of their people already calling for cars. There's a lot of interesting things going on there. So we'll wrap this up. Grab me, you know, give me a little quick breakdown. Give me your score prediction for this weekend. And what do you think happens?
I think Kansas City comes back and gets things back on track. I don't think it's going to be a blowout win. I don't think it's going to be a pretty win, but I think they find a way to get a win against the Bills. I'm picking them for 24-20.
Yeah, that sounds. I have 21-17 Kansas City written down here. That's what I'm going with. There's a couple of matchups the Bills could exploit that maybe get them closer to even there. But I don't anticipate them. This game will be a lot better, a lot closer, a lot more interesting if Tyrod Taylor plays. If not, if you see Nathan Peterman tomorrow, I would imagine you'll know tomorrow taking the snaps and taking that job. I just clap your hands. You just got a free win because there's just no way the offense will move. The defense won't do enough, and the offense won't move with Nathan Peterman. But Tyrod Taylor can always add another level of, okay, the Bills are actually trying to win this game, so now we have to take it a little bit more seriously.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if they play Peterman, he tries to throw at Marcus Peters?
Yeah, I do. I actually do think he'll try to throw at him because he doesn't care. He has that mentality where he's going to go out and release the ball as quick as possible. He's trying to copy the quickest releasers in the NFL. He's going to have his one read. He's going to throw it, depending on which receivers are in. We don't even know at this point. He's going to absolutely go after Marcus Peters. I don't think he's definitely not gun shy. He's definitely going to look at his side of the field. He doesn't care if he throws a pick. He threw five last week in the first half.
Well, no, I know that, but he's going to pay for it if he throws them against Marcus.
I know he paid for it against lesser players. So,
yeah.
That's what I mean, though. I do think he'll attack them. I don't know, maybe try to catch him off guard on a play, but then he'll get burned going at him. So I do think he'll try to attack him. The Bills, depending on which receivers are playing, he did start to find some rapport in practice and in the first series with Kelvin Benjamin to know where to put the ball, to try to take advantage of smaller corners, not that Marcus is, just in general, you know, he knows he can put it up there, and 6'5", Kelvin Benjamin can get it. So I'm interested to see if he plays. I guess it just depends on where Kelvin's at, where Jordan Matthews is at, and where Deontay Thompson's at as deep threat. Where he, you know, if he's even playing, but you know, Tyrod Taylor won't. So I'll answer that question reversely. Tyrod Taylor will not throw at Marcus Peters. Absolutely not. He'll rather take a scramble for 5 yards, try to make a 10-yard scramble, 15-yard scramble. He will not throw the ball at that. So Marcus Peters can pick a player per play and take him off the field. Because if it's Tyrod Taylor, he's going to frust. He's going to absolutely not make that read.
As most quarterbacks shouldn't, but they still seem to. From time to time.
And so. That's why I'm saying it's a different ball game if Tyrod Taylor plays. They'll try to strategically decide who to place against Peters and try to take advantage somehow, whatever they know, whatever there is to take advantage, they'll try. But he will not throw the ball that way. So that's the difference. So if it's Peterman, I don't know what could happen that would show him that he could win a football game. But if it's Tyrod, I think we got a ball game.
Sounds good to me.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. And, you know, we wanted to make one last shout out to PFF. We use these stats in our conversations on Lockdown. We use it all the time on Twitter. All of our handles at Cover One Bills, at Lockdown Bills, and myself at Cover, at Kevin Massari, KevinMassare. You know, we appreciate you going and leaving a review for a chance to win a PFF Edge membership, something that you can always debate against your friends. You know, you have a chance to win. Just leave a review on iTunes and you leave your Twitter handle for a chance to win that. We really appreciate your time. It's always great to have these crossover shows. We, you know, it's the Bills fans love the perspective from another team. We get to play the Chiefs every 3 years now. We used to play you guys yearly. Now it seems like it's back down to every 3 years as we kind of finish in different places in the standings now. So, you know, it is good to get a Chiefs perspective, something that's unbiased, and you know, get to hear a little bit about your team. And there's some good crossover right now between the Bills and the Chiefs, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, especially with all the different trades that have been made. And you know, there's going to be a good crossover for the next several years if Kansas City is able to get Mahomes going in the next couple of years, because Bills fans will remember that they could have had him.
Absolutely. They sure will. Him and Deshaun Watson will always be linked to Buffalo back-to-back there. They traded the pick that was either of those players, and then specifically Mahomes, because the Chiefs came up and got him in their slot. So,
yeah,
Chris, we really appreciate your time.
Yep. You could be Cleveland.
We're not Cleveland. That's what we take solace in, the fact that we're not Cleveland, that they're just an absolute tire fire. They can't even win a football game, so they're an absolute tire fire. And the Bills do have two picks this year. And the good thing about the Bills, they'll actually use their picks, unlike – the Browns, who literally can do nothing but trade back to like 28 every single year. So we'll use the pick and we'll see what happens. We'll see what the quarterback they come up with is, maybe with the Chiefs pick even. So there might even be some extra correlation there between the two, and don't know if we'll play next year because of the where we'll finish in the division. But really appreciate you coming on today, Chris. Real great show as always. Once again, this is Locked On Bills, crossover edition with Locked On Chiefs, and we'll catch you guys later.
Appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.